Man, so good to be here. Love it. Thanks, Dr. Phil and all the Destiny family for letting us be a part. My wife, Ash, and I love our Destiny family. So excited to be here. And yes, Trina, they did go bigger this year with the community talk. I thought at first it was because of my intellect and my speaking abilities, but then I got up too, like Pastor Nelson, looked in the mirror this morning, and it just dawned on me, Doc, why you said this was going to be a bigger presentation. If Trina Lowe was standing next to me, Mama T, that's the only way I could be bigger than you, just want you to know. My shoe size, my belt size, for you would be a hula hoop. Okay, listen, we're going to talk a little bit about community. Community is special to me because to me it's about relationship. It's the fundamentals of what we do as a church. It's building relationship, whether it's with God, with people, with our leaders, our teams. It's about building relationship. And community, for me, was a game changer. It's something that changed my life from the very beginning of my walk with God and on through the process. It was a catalyst for me discovering who I was and who I am as a leader and as a person. I've had 22 years ago was a game-changing moment for me when someone asked me to come be a part of a gathering, a part of a group of people, a healthy community. And I, like many of the people we pastor, had one of those moments in my life where I realized, if you know me, it may seem shocking to you, but I was I really had no friends. I was really introverted and wasn't outgoing. But I was a product of a healthy community. I was really, to quote a great philosopher of our time, Donkey from Shrek. All by myself, nobody here beside me. Just in that tone, too, just like that. That was how I rolled, Dr. Phil. I was looking in the window, alone. That's how I lived my life. And I didn't know how great life could be until I got into a healthy community of people. Until I felt like I belonged to a group of people, who wanted me to be around them. It changed everything for me. It changed my life. And it started with the gathering. And here's the good thing for you. This is where I'm going to start this morning, is because we as churches, we gather people. I want to encourage you, you can't stop gathering people. In any attempt that you can, gather people, get people together. It's the starting point for community. It's really the launching point for, if you're going to have community in your church, it's got to be with gathering people together. And here's why I say together, because online communities is such a big deal right now. Internet, social media, you can feel like you're a part of a community so easily. But here's the problem with that these days in our society is there are so many stats. You can Google it. You can go to a bookstore and get so many books that have been written on it. Online communities is not fulfilling that void right now. It's not meeting the need. And there is no other entity other than the church that meets on such a regular basis that can provide such healthy community. And we as a church have got to take that personal, because we've got to make it our mission to gather people together. Listen, I just read an article not long ago. It was released by the Huffington Post last year, 2015. And they wrote this article, and it was about loneliness and the effect of loneliness on our culture and our society right now. And as I read it, I saw myself a little bit in that mirror, like, man, wow, I understand what that's like. And they began to describe the actual physical and the mental and the emotional effects of loneliness right now and how it's beginning to shape our culture. And it's really what's driving social media. It's driving the internet. It's so easy for someone to pick up a phone when they feel lonely, or pick up an iPad and feel like all of a sudden they can connect. But really it's creating a bigger disconnect than ever before, because people aren't learning what it's like to have a real life conversation. They don't know what it's like to be corrected when you've got 10 minutes to craft a perfect sentence in response. What do you think about this? Should I say it like this? Come on, with all my pastors, real talk right there. You know your wife, that filter, praise the Lord. You don't have to respond. You can act like you hadn't read it yet. Thank God you can turn that read thing off on your text. You know what I'm saying? Y'all ought to be shouting. I'm talking to pastors and leaders now. You know what I mean? They don't know I read it. I could tell them I was praying. I was dealing with a real life situation. Yeah, I couldn't get my shoe out. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever. You're not lying. I'm helping you. It's really about creating that personal interaction. That's what community is. It's about creating a moment and opportunities for people to connect with each other, one another. Sherry Turkle is a psychologist, and I'm not into all psychology like some of the smarter people in this room. But I can tell you, I love to understand people. And she wrote a great book called Connected But Alone. And she talked about for the last 19 years, she has studied the effects of us trying to connect with one another just through social media and technology. And she goes on to explain much of what we're talking about, the significance of personal interaction and how the disconnect is happening, how it's so the illusion of being connected to so many people is causing relationship problems. It's causing community problems. And people aren't able to really relate to one another because of the technology. So I encourage you as pastors, this is our distinction. We gather people together. You make sure that we make a priority to gather people, put people in the same room. Make sure we're pulling them together, because here's the deal. It is the greatest strength we have as a church. Outside of Jesus and His power and His presence and worship, I'm talking about when it comes to building community. It's the greatest strength that we have, because here's, unfortunately for us, they can lay in their bed, I've done it, and watch the best preaching in the world. They can watch on their iPhone the greatest worship music in the world. You can talk to Jesus, cry, and have those moments right in your bedroom. Don't even have to leave the bed. Right? So really, that even that distinction, it's some of us, it is a drawing power. Yes, and great worship is, the music is a drawing power. But listen, the community, the personal interaction, the being able to tell someone, we love you, you're doing great, how are you, high fives, pats on the backs, picking up their kids, loving on them. That's the community. That's the distinction we have as churches, the gathering together. And so what I found in gathering is to really take the community into a deeper level, to really lock them in community. It starts with meaningful relationship. So if we gather people, we've got to also give them meaningful relationship. It's really what we do as churches. We build relationship. We build relationship with God. We provide an avenue, an opportunity for someone to connect to Jesus. But then I tell you, if you're going to have a community in your church, if you're going to have a church where people feel like they belong, they feel like there's a place for them, it starts with meaningful relationships. You know, the actual root of relationships, the word relationship, is to relate. I want to encourage you to make sure you're creating opportunities in your churches for people to relate to one another. People want to know they're not the only one. One of the greatest things I've done in 18 years of pastoring is to be able to tell someone, oh man, I know someone who's been through that same thing. Really? It's a game changer for them. For someone to come alongside, oh man, you're battling that, I'm going to tell you, I'm on this side, it can happen. Most people aren't aware of that. That's why they're lonely. If they thought that there was other people that were going through what they're going through, they would be alongside with them, because nobody wants to do life alone. I've never, in 18 years of pastoring, someone said, man, I've had a great year, I'm so glad I had no one to celebrate that with. They've never said, I'm telling you, I'm in the roughest season I've ever been. I'm glad no one's here for me. I've never heard that. And I probably will not hear that. Because people want to relate. They want to know they're not the only one. They want to feel that sense of belonging. And we get to be a part of that. Listen, millennials is one of the hottest studied groups right now, and how they connect and stay involved in church. And Barna has several great studies on the millennials. And I read this one study, and it was talking about millennials who had been connected to church, those who grew up in church. And then it began to study those who had stayed in the church once they reached adults, young adults, and then those who had left the church. And I found this really interesting. Of all the stats that they came up with, the number one common thread, or the number one influential decision, was meaningful relationships. And this is what it was. 59% of those who actually grew up in church and stayed as adults said they had a meaningful relationship in church. They had a friendship with another adult in the church. What? If I knew we could keep 60% of every millennial that came in the door just by giving them a friend, that would change my strategy a little bit. 70% of those who left the church, they grew up in the church, they were once a regular attender of the church, and left the church, 70%, 7 out of 10 of them, said they did not have a friend in the church with an adult. That is crazy. We the church, y'all. We got to build relationship. Gathering is great. That's one of our distinctions. But when we get them, we've got to connect them. We've got to find people. We've got to find avenues for them to relate to one another, build meaningful relationships. Meaningful relationships. It's matter. It's the purpose for our gathering. It's the reason we pull people together. Amen. We got to make sure we're creating meaningful relationships. Let me give you a couple practicals. I am not doing worship, so I'm going to give you some what and whys and all that. How's that? It's who I is. Here we go. Three things. If you're going to build healthy community, you got to start with having it a part of your vision. Because we know vision is made up of what we value. It's Dr. Phil said earlier, it's what's important to us. If it's a priority to us, it's a part of our vision. Some of you have outreach passions, and so you've got food pantries and clothing closets, and you've got things going on. It's a passion. It's a priority to you. It's part of your vision. Some of you love outreach, and you love the missions part of things, and you put emphasis on that. Well, I want to tell you, the same goes with community. Building meaningful relationships, you got to put a priority on it. You got to value it, because then what happens, then your staff values it. Your teams value it. The people you lead value it. It begins to come out in your teaching and your preaching and your leading. Building meaningful relationships. That's what people are longing for. They want to know someone cares for them. And so it's our responsibility to have it. I'll say it like this. We've got to be convinced it's what we need in our churches. It can't be a project. Community is not a project. It's a passion. You got to have a passion to connect people with their purpose. Connect people. And listen, they're not going to know. We know this. We're in ministry. You can't do it alone. Your purpose doesn't just pop out of the sky. People, you get around people. They encourage you. They shape you. They craft you. And it's a part of our makeup. It's who we are. And so you got to have a passion for it. I want to tell you, Hebrews 10, you've probably used this. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 is a great verse. It talks about the significance of coming together, spending time together, the encouragement, the love that happens. It's a part of pulling our purpose out of us. Amen. I recently spoke last month, actually two months ago, I spoke a message for a pastor friend, and they were in a series. And so I did a message on relationships, how to be a good friend, how to have good friends. And we were blown away talking about the response. I mean, the salvations were off the chart. Did the same thing two Sundays ago at another church, different city, same response. Taught about just being a good friend, having good friends. If you want godly friends in your life. And the salvation response was amazing. That tells me people were willing to do whatever it takes to have good relationship in their life. Even life change. I was trying to get out the door, and a guy stopped me and said, "Listen, I want you to know, I heard what you say. I'm taking it serious. I've got some decisions to make. I'm going to do this. I want God people in my life." You got to have a vision. People want it. They need it. Make it a passion in your church. Make it a passion on your teams. People want to be accepted. They want someone else they can do life with. Got to have a vision for it. And then secondly, I would say you got to have a strategy. You got to have a plan. This is the how. This is how you're going to do it. How? Okay, I'm fired up. I'm excited. Well, we've got to put a plan together. What does that look like? Well, I'm just going to give you a couple little quick things. Make sure it's a part of all your systems. Make sure every system you have in your church is facilitating relationship. People, remember the word relate. Make sure that in everything you do as a church, people are able to relate to it, to relate to other people. Because you want to make sure your growth track, your small groups, your serve teams, your outreaches, it's really about people connecting in, finding their purpose. Do you believe that? That's what it's about. So you've got to make sure all of your systems are connecting with people, connecting people in. And then I would say this, you don't even have to start with all new systems. Start where you are. So your systems and then your structure, learn to structure in community moments in your services, your special events. I want to tell you one of the greatest things my wife and I have done. We just finished pastoring for the last 6 years in Memphis, Tennessee. And one of the greatest things we did was we took what we were already doing. We took services, we took special events, and we started working in community moments in those, relationship moments, relationship building opportunities. We would have people, we would set up, instead of doing all chairs and rows like this, we would do round tables and let everybody sit in circles on a special event night and get discussion questions. Or we'd have games where they could ask questions. And you wouldn't believe the amount of community that was being built in those moments. Relationships, people asking questions, getting to know someone they sat across the aisle from for the last 2 years, had never even knew. Didn't know they lived in the same city. Never asked that, had the opportunity to relate on that level. We would budget money to have hospitality items. If we had a special event, man, I can't tell you the last time we did a special event and didn't have food afterwards. Come on. Everybody love to eat. I can't see you, but I can feel you up here, all right? And so, really, it was about creating a space, building a place into your church, into your service, and your culture where people can relate. Man, we spent a lot of money on donuts, cupcakes, cookies, chili, hot dogs, barbecue. And you know what it did? It was us buying community, basically. We were budgeting in community in our finances and in our time. We would end a service 30 minutes, 20 minutes early so that we could have some hangout time. And man, it was huge. Little things like that make a big impact on community. You got to build it into your church. I call it the Fellowship Hall effect. You know, Fellowship Hall folks in the house, grew up in church, you know what I'm talking about, that Fellowship Hall. I can see ours right now, man. You growing up, you walk into that thing, those folding tables, cheap tablecloths, those old metal chairs. Ooh. By the time you got dessert, you're ready to get up. You know what I'm saying? And that Fellowship Hall, we had that cut out in the kitchen window, the little countertop. Potluck right there. Set the potluck up. Get that plate, come right in. I always tell everybody, I said, I love potluck until I got to the age where I realized that all dishes were not made equal. There was always that mystery dish when I was a kid. Ignorance was bliss, Subi. Man, I just eat it. I just, yeah, no good. It's got a crust on it. Let's eat it. Then when I got of age, I realized, oh no, who made that? Boy. Girl. What had happened was I was no longer hungry. But here's my favorite part. Here's my favorite part about a Fellowship Hall. It was a created space for fellowship, for community. It was a place where we planned, we blueprinted, we built, we budgeted, and we designated this is where community is going to happen. Some of my greatest memories are from running around there. We had Bible studies. We had birthday parties. Yes, we had potlucks. We had community in those rooms. I have great relationships that were built in those environments. You got to make sure you build it into your church culture. You're creating space. You're creating space for it. And lastly, I'll just tell you this real quick so I don't get called out like someone else. Is that you got to have execution. The last thing, vision. You got strategy. You got to have execution. This seems like a given if you've got strategy, but I want to tell you, it can't just be a vision. It can't just be something you put on your website. We love community, and it can't really just have all these systems because people connect with people, not processes. They don't connect to a system. Systems facilitate the people stuff. You know what I'm saying? And so we've got to make sure the execution, we have some who's. And here's what I want to encourage. I'm trying to give you some practicals. You got to have a who. If you're going to build community, you got to decide who's going to implement that. Who's going to be responsible for tracking it? Who's going to champion that? Who's going to be sitting in those meetings saying, hey, you know what? We need to create a moment. What if we use this moment for some relationship building? Who's going to own that? Small groups? That's a great way. Listen, if you don't have small groups in your church, don't leave this conference without talking to somebody who has them and figure out how to get going. You need small groups in your church. You need them. It's the modern day Sunday school. And you need that. It is the place for you for your people to meet one another, to learn about God, to learn about themselves, and most importantly, create community in their life. You need that. But you need someone owning it. If you really are serious about it, you need somebody. It doesn't have to be full-time staff. It doesn't have to be when you pay. We built a church of 2,000 people on mainly volunteer leaders who are pastors, engineers, customer service managers, physical therapists. They were owning the vision. You can do it. You can do it really easily. Another who I would encourage you to do, find who already are connectors. Find those people who are floating around the auditorium, in the atriums. Who are those people that are already meeting people? The greatest thing I did was approach a guy named, this is how it changed for me, my perspective. I went to a guy named Richard who was already, I said, man, he's got a great personality. He was greeting at the door. Started talking to Richard. Richard was a salesman over a sales force. And he was already, man, he was creating community. Every person that came through that door, he was talking to them about their life and what was going on. It was just fun. And so I went to Richard. I said, Richard, I'm going to keep you on the greeter team. Okay, thanks, Pastor. I said, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a special position. All right? It's called the community development position. Actually, I didn't use a fancy word like that. I just said, I need you to love on people. I need you to make people feel special when they come here that you're glad, that we as a church are glad they're here. Listen, it started with a Richard, then we had a Chuck, then we had a Melissa, and next thing you know, we had a group of people that their role on Sunday mornings was to make sure people knew that they were welcome there, that they had a place there. If they were loved, meaningful relationship, it matters. In fact, it can be the difference in community, good community or not. Amen. Love you. Thank you.